Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. The following is the Spirit World Center podcast. If you have any questions about the spirits or training, you can visit our website at spiritworldcenter.com. And now, please enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer of Zen Gen Holistic. Jennifer is a Reiki practitioner, a wellness coach, a self-love coach, and she promotes and sells products for the holistic experience. Jen, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Jennifer, what can you tell us about yourself? What is your spiritual practice and how do you help people?
So my spiritual practice consists of a lot of different things. I am a Native American to Central and South America. So I really wanted, when I started my spiritual practice, I really wanted to tap into what my ancestors did. So I read a lot of spirituality books. I practice a lot of different types of shamanism, which is herbal healing and connecting to your ancestors. And then I started doing yoga to kind of help calm my body, spirit, and mind. And then I started using more essential oils, crystals, all part of the holistic experience. And then I came across a Reiki circle and I instantly fell in love. So Reiki is an energy healing and it's used to promote any type of healing. So physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual type of healing. And it's very, very beneficial for people that have experienced trauma or have experienced anxiety or depression or anything like that. And it was such an amazing experience that I ended up getting my certification in Reiki so that way I can continue to help heal other people as well.
And what brought you initially to get into spirituality? What brought you to shamanism and holistic and all this?
So my father passed away when I was 11. So this was 22 years ago. So after he passed away, there was a lot of different situations that happened. So my mother could not take care of me and my brother full time. So we were sent to bounce around living under multiple people's homes in different states. So we spent, you know, a good portion of the year in Cleveland, Ohio, and the rest in South Florida, and just living under multiple people's roofs. And that was one itself was very confusing, especially when you're young. And also some of the family members were like physically and mentally abusive. So not only did we deal with abandonment, we dealt with physical and mental abuse. And then that kind of carried on with us because this continued for years until I was about in like my high school years where we had like a permanent home. So it was like living under multiple people's roofs, abandonment, depression, anger, anxiety, all of that in a nutshell. And then obviously that leads to drinking and doing other stuff because I grew up in Miami. So that's the thing to do. But then by the time I got into my 20s, I was like, I really don't want to live like this anymore. There is something bigger and better that's out there for me. So that's when I decided to kind of tap into myself and see who I am. So I did my DNA testing. I already knew it was Panamanian because my family's from Panama. I'm actually the first one to be born in this country. First generation. So I already knew that about myself. So I already was brought up with that type of cultural background. But then I also found out that I was indigenous to the Panama area, which is Central America, also in Costa Rica and Colombia, which is in South America. So I was like so fascinated by that because I've always been obsessed with Native American culture. So I was so excited that I could tap into what turned out to be my culture as well. So I learned more and decided to facilitate my healing practice. And that's kind of what like led onto it.
Fantastic.
I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And at the
beginning, a lot of things happened.
And did you find ways to tap into your cultural heritage in that way?
Yeah. So the first and foremost thing is when you decide that you no longer want to be like a victim or a martyr, that's the first step in your healing journey. So after that, I was like, okay, what is one thing that is going to really help heal me? So I started doing yoga and then I started connecting and doing more meditation, traveling and spending time outside, I went back to my home country in Panama, and just kind of just really dig deep and see who I really am on a spiritual level. And then I started in my meditations, a lot of things and like ancestors and visions would pop up, and especially notes from my dad. Like he has always been there, and he's always like came through in my dreams, and has always spoken to me. And it's kind of crazy because one time I was working with a psychic healer, just wanted to go have some fun and do some tarot, you know? And she was like, you're like, whenever, you know, like something happens to you, your father works through you. And like, he literally works through you. So if like I'm ever angry, that's like my father coming through on a spiritual level. Like I'm literally, it's like almost like being possessed in a way, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a protection kind of way.
And oftentimes these kind of gifts, they definitely seem to pass down genealogically. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your father had any of those kind of gifts that he might have maybe not shown in his life, but never, do you feel like it comes down through that way or both lines?
I don't know. I know my dad was very connected with nature. He brought us to the beach every weekend when we were younger, because he really enjoyed, because I mean, one of the entities I pray to is obviously Mother Nature, you know, the sun and everything. So he really allowed us to connect with our nature self. But as far as spirituality in other ways, I didn't really see that from anybody else. So it was kind of weird because nobody else in my family practice shamanism like I do. So it's kind of like I'm trying to break the generational patterns and kind of tap into the old ways of my ancestors.
That's fantastic to hear. Wow. And so as a, I'm just looking at your other, the other things that you do here, you're also a wellness coach and a self-love coach. How do you help people in those ways?
So when it comes to wellness is not just a one-stop shop. Usually when people are looking for a wellness transformation, they're looking for multiple different entities, like the holistic experience. So physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So usually people come to me because they need certain types of healing, you know, whether it be through like abandonment or trauma. I definitely specialize in trauma. So if somebody's looking through any type of trauma healing, then they generally will notice that they start having physical ailments too. Like, you know, maybe they have, you know, heart troubles or stomach pains or something like that, that kind of stems down from the type of trauma that they've experienced. So I help guide them and give them recommendations to help, you know, continue to heal themselves in between our sessions. So say, for example, if somebody is very anxious or they overanalyze a lot, I may tell them to do a meditation practice, like, you know, start with 5 minutes a day and then kind of work your way up, add an extra minute every day, or maybe walk them through some breathing exercises to kind of help, you know, them to continue to heal in between sessions. And as far as self-love coaching, I realize that there's a really big need for that, especially after COVID, because self-love is not just about like, you know, having a spa day. It's about setting boundaries if you need it, and setting boundaries with yourself, with your business, with your family members, with your friends, whatever it may be. It could also be about confidence building too. I know a lot of people are lacking their confidence. So that kind of stemmed from that.
Right, right. And it sounds like a big part of your practice and what you do as well is helping people get into things that are holistic, like essential oils and such. So how does that play out in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of hard when people are skeptics and they're not open to trying those types of things. But I always say just like one step at a time. If you don't want to jump in head first, do it one step at a time. Although I try to be as holistic as possible, I'm also a realist too and realize, hey, listen, you know, I could do Reiki on a broken bone all day long, but you may need to go to the hospital and get a cast put on it. So I'm also a realist too. So I know that some things, you know, you just can't do without. So I do, you know, being a spiritual person, you may tend to suffer with a lot of headaches or migraines. That just so happens to be me. I do occasionally get migraines. So I have medication when they get so bad. So I practice what I preach. I tell, you know, my clients, hey, listen, if you absolutely need something, like just because it may not be the most holistic thing, it doesn't mean that you can't have it in your life. So it's a good balance, but, you know, I try my best to live the most holistic way possible. And that's what I kind of, you know, expect from my clients too. And they appreciate the realness of that.
So I am also a sufferer of migraines. And so I definitely have to ask, because you mentioned this, are there any holistic measures that you have found for migraines?
Absolutely. So my number one thing that helps tremendously is peppermint oil. So if you use peppermint oil, you can use it wherever you have a migraine. Generally, migraines are like on one side, but wherever it may be, you just put a little bit like on your temples and then like around. But be very, very, very careful. It does not get in your eyes because it is a very strong oil. And you may want like a carrier oil. So it was like a non-scented lotion if you're not, if your skin is a little sensitive, and just kind of put it like around, but keep it away from your eyes. And then you can put the fan on and it kind of helps almost numb it a little bit. So I absolutely love that. And then heat seems to work. So I have like a little heating pad. I could just put that like wherever I feel discomfort, and that tends to help. Chiropractic care and acupuncture also really help migraines as well.
I definitely, this is the second time that peppermint has come up. In fact, I have some right here. I've been quitting coffee for the last little while. And I was talking to someone who was also into essential oils a number of days ago, and they were telling me, you know, if you need a pick-me-up as well, just sniff some peppermint oil, and it's like coffee, you know. Yeah. So it takes the place. It's a very effective little guy, that peppermint oil. That's great.
There's so many different uses. Yeah, there's so many different uses for it. Like you said, like a pick-me-up, but you could also use it if you have a stomach ache too.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Some essential oils you can take internally. You just make sure to read the label. Like, I know doTERRA's peppermint oil you can take internally.
Fantastic. Yeah, I suppose there's quite a variability, especially what's being used as a carrier oil and everything in there, right?
So exactly.
People definitely do your homework before you take anything internally. Yes. For sure.
And my always key point is, don't get peppermint oil in your eyes.
That sounds painful.
There are stains.
Oh my. Okay. I got to watch out for that. Mind you, may that'll get me ready for an interview if I'm really down and missing coffee. Just get something to wake me up, right? So awesome. Fantastic. Well, to shift gears a little bit, you have had a lot of spiritual and paranormal experiences throughout your life, starting from when you were quite young. Can you tell us about those?
Yes. Okay. So the first paranormal experience that I had, and maybe you could shed some light on this, because I, for the life of me, could never figure it out. So I was so little, and I think I was in school. My brother was a little younger. I was sleeping in my brother's room, and I don't even know if he was in school at this point or if he was like kindergarten, but I was sleeping in his room. And then I got up and I look in the mirror, and it's, I don't know, midnight or something. And I see this glowing cat. It looks like a neon cat. And I look outside, but there's not a cat outside. So I look at the mirror again, and I see this cat staring back at me. And then I move, and the cat is moving with me as if it's my reflection. So I don't know what that was. I've never seen that before again. And I never saw it prior. And it was like a one-time experience. And that was my first time that I can actually remember where something really weird happened. But at the same time, I wasn't scared. So.
And how old were you at that time?
Oh my God, I was so young. I must have been like 6, maybe 7 at most, I think. I was young.
Wow. And so it seemed like it was actually your reflection.
Yes.
There was a neon cat.
Yeah, it was like almost like it was a glowing cat. Like, it didn't look like a, you know, like a cat you would see on the street. It looked like a glowing, like almost neon cat. It was so weird.
I mean, the things that pop to mind are like a guardian spirit or some kind of, you know, guardian animal for you. But at the same time, I mean, there's so many possibilities on that. Wow. Fantastic. And how long did that experience last, would you think?
I don't know, but I was like, it probably lasted like a minute because I was so fascinated, like trying to figure out where it was coming from. Like, it was so crazy because I didn't have cats. We had dogs. So I didn't have a cat. I knew it wasn't my cat or anything, and there was no cat outside or anything. I was like, I don't know. So it probably lasted a good minute until I laid back down, and I was just trying to figure out what it was.
It's interesting. It didn't lead to you, you know, screaming and running out of the room or something.
No, it was actually very calming and very interesting.
And that just
ends more curious, if anything.
And it ends with you just laying back in bed, like, that's a mystery. Okay, well, I'm gonna go back to sleep now.
But it's weird because, like, 20 years later, I'm still, you know, 20 plus years, I'm still thinking about it, and I'm like, what was that?
Little initiation event. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So where do we go from there after?
Okay, so then you know, I already mentioned that my father passed away. So after my father passed away, obviously I was in a very fragile state. So when we went up north, we were living with his family, and I, like, we had our, like, our own rooms and stuff there in their house, and like the door to my rooms, my first year living there, the door to the room kept opening. Like, it would be very gentle, not like violently, but just kind of just kept opening. And I immediately thought it was him. But that, like, that was to the extent of it. Like, it would just, you know, open a few doors. But then as the years progressed, I got more and more visions. So I would get, like, these really deep visions. Like, I'd get, like, random visions, like, or like a voice speaking to me in my head. Or like in my dreams, I would have like him communicating with me, would be talking. And it's, you know, and when you have these like type of experiences, like after you wake up, it's like, it's almost a little nostalgic. So you feel a little sad in the morning. But then you also feel very happy that there was that type of communication. And then a year ago is like when the craziest thing happened. So I was always, a few years ago, my grandmother passed away too, which was his mother. And I was very, very close to my dad's side of the family. So, you know, like, so she started communicating with me as well. And then a year ago, it was the dead of night, and there was this glowing figure right, like, by me on the bed, like a big glowing figure. And I freaked out because I've never seen any type of glowing figure like that other than the cat, but, because it didn't have a face or anything. Like, you couldn't, like, see a face. It's just like, it was a big glowing figure. And then I started freaking out, and my boyfriend woke up and he was like, there's nothing there. And I was like, no, there was something there and you just don't see it. And then the next day I kind of like, I woke up and I was like, okay, what the heck was that? So, generally on like the deaths or the anniversaries of, you know, their birthdays or something, there'll be like a weird thing that happens. Like, I'll get like a vision or something. But then the next day I woke up and I'm like, hey, when was my dad's birthday? And they're like, it's today. And I was like, that was him that came to visit me last night. So it was really bizarre. Other than that, I've never had that happen again. I think they saw how freaked out I was. They're like, okay, we're going to do subtle, you know, we'll drop, you know, the feathers out for you. We'll give you visions. We'll, you know, speak to you in your dreams, because obviously that was a little too much for you.
I've seen that again and again, where someone with sensitivities, absolutely, sometimes they see something that's more than they're willing to, or, you know, ready to see.
Yeah.
And spirit world pulls back and says, okay, we're just going to give you these kind of experiences now.
Exactly.
Right? It's almost like a boundary setting thing where it's like, no, I'm not ready to see full apparitions. I need to have these kind of interactions. Wow.
Exactly.
To shift back a little bit, you mentioned doors opening. When these doors were opening, was it a partially open door that was opening up more, or was it like, did the latch actually have to turn for it to open?
The latch had to turn for it to open.
Oh my. Oh
yeah.
My.
But okay. It was very subtle. Like, it would, like, you know, almost like as if, you know, the door wasn't fully closed and air conditioner would come on and push the door open. It was like that, but the door was closed.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, it's not like the air conditioner is pushing it open, because it would have to be partially open first.
Right.
Or the latch would have to be disengaged. So like something was, to the best of your knowledge, the door handle probably had been turned to some point, and that's just slowly opening. Oh, wow. Wow. That's an interesting one. Wow. Yeah. And how regularly was that happening?
Oh, the first year right after he passed, almost every day. And so that probably happened, you know, for a good solid few months. But yeah, it never freaked me out or anything, because I knew, I could feel the energy wasn't a bad energy.
And you said that you were moving from home to home. What, did this happen in multiple homes or just one home?
Just with his family.
And was it just one door that was doing it, or was it multiple doors?
I had to think about that. I only remember it happening in the door that I was staying in, like the room that I was staying in.
So like the one closest to you, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that, I wasn't opening my brother's door or other doors.
Yeah. But at the same, exactly. But at the same time, if it wanted to get your attention or something, it'd be the door that it was using. Wow. Wow. And when you were having communications over the years, visions and dreams, mm-hmm. What types of communications were you getting? Like, was it giving advice? Or was he giving advice? Or
yep.
What kind of messages?
Yeah, it was definitely like giving advice or like reassurance. Because a lot of times, how I get into my meditative, I get to a meditative state and I hold like crystals and things. And then when I'm able to tap into that, like it's they speak to me as if it's my intuition or something. But sometimes I'll like ask questions, or I'll be like, hey, like I really miss you right now. And then it'll just be more of like a comforting like guidance. And sometimes if I'm really confused, I'm just kind of like, what do I do about this? And then they're just, they help calm me down. And it's most of the time they're telling me to trust my intuition and like trust my gut and stuff. And they're like, you're not going to, make the wrong decision. Just like trust your intuition.
That's a message I get all the time. Just, you already know this. Just trust yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's fantastic that you've opened yourself up to that kind of communication and guidance. Wow. And, I'm curious, what can you tell us about your shamanic practice? How have you, how has that practice evolved over the years? What types of things do you do as part of that practice, connecting with that ancestral shamanism, that past?
So I use a lot of like meditation, like healing hertz frequencies or binaural beats in the background to kind of help switch my frequencies. And then I get into a meditative state and I, sit with the essential oils and the crystals. And then sometimes I'm able to like see different type of auras and things like that. And at first when I started down that path, I was not able to sit still and connect. But like as the years progressed, I was able to really sit still and then actually be able to listen to what's going on. And then also me spending more time outside in nature, like in Mother Nature, has allowed me to kind of find a different type of inner peace.
Wonderful. And I'm really curious about your use of binaural beats there, because it seems like definitely another way to get into that kind of trance state, right? Mm-hmm. And engaging with that. And so when you're sitting there with your crystals, your essential oils, and you're in that trance state, what's that experience like? So you mentioned that you're starting to see auras and such. Do you hear things? Do you see things? Like, are your eyes closed? Are you
kind of having my eyes are always closed. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of sage and Palo Santo to help cleanse. And then I'll do like incense as well on top of the essential oils. So the scents already like are kind of like almost triggering in a way. Like they kind of allow me to get to a deeper meditative state. So yeah. So as I'm like during my meditation, I'm able to, once I get to a really good calm state, I'm able to pretty much have my questions answered. Like whatever questions like that may come up, I'm like, hey, what do I do about this? What's the best solution for that? Then they're able to like communicate with me. And then I do see like a lot of different colors, as you're kind of sifting through a galaxy, like you can see like the different type of colors. And then I see like a different type of like visions as well. So like sometimes I'll see like things play out, or like me walking through like nature, or me even like going through the galaxy or something.
Right. And does it tend to be kind of a cohesive narrative that plays out in these visions? Like, is it, I'm walking through nature and then I go down this tunnel and I then encounter this being, it tells me something.
Not,
or is it more like kind of snippets coming through that, you know, you're in this like, kind of, yeah.
It's more like snippets. I feel like if you were to do like a guided meditation, that might help guide you through like, oh, walking through the forest and I go down this path. But I tend to like to allow my mind to go where it needs to go. So I kind of opt away from doing guided meditations, although they are wonderful, especially if you're new to meditation. But I like to just see where my mind goes and where I, what I need to know, because obviously there's, you know, maybe a message that needs to come up. So I allow my mind to go, and sometimes, you know, I'll be like sitting on top of a planet and like watching the stars like flow by. And then sometimes I'll be like in nature or, you know, like, and it could all happen during one meditation session. It just kind of wherever my mind kind of needs to take me.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It sounds like it's basically there's a lot of different phenomena that can come through, right? Because I'm sure at the same time that you can hear things, you can just kind of send. Do you have a lot of feelings come through as well while you're doing this?
Yes and no. It's more just a really calm, relaxed feeling, almost as if you're in a trance. So if I can get, I don't always get to that meditative state. Like you have to like really, really sit and allow yourself to get to that trance meditation state. But like right before then, yeah, like I'll get like, you know, voices and things. And it's mostly just like either reassurance or like even new ideas. Like it's kind of crazy. Like when I work with Reiki on, when I do Reiki on people, I will get a bunch of like random downloads and new ideas coming to me while I'm working on them, because it's just like clearing up that energy field. So that's kind of what I experience.
And one further question about this practice of yours, because I really love it. When you're getting into it, you mentioned that there's various scents that help you. Is that mainly the sage and the Palo Santo, or are there any other scents that you use to get into it?
No. The sage and Palo Santo is used for cleansing. It's good for any type of ritual, like any type of cleansing, you know, cleansing your home, cleansing your aura, your energy field. And I use Palo Santo every time I'm working with a client to help cleanse their energy as well. But if I want to use something that's going to ground me, I'll use something like a sandalwood. If I'm looking to kind of maybe help heal that heart chakra a little bit, or to invite more love and abundance into my life, I'll use like a rose scented, like either incense or essential oil or both. But every scent has a different type of trigger almost.
Interesting. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, it's like a library of scents, and you can,
yes,
you can find one for that particular need.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so to cover one more thing that we were talking about in the pre-interview, you mentioned that during your Reiki sessions that sometimes you can feel energies coming through, right? So how did that go?
Yeah, so I can very clearly remember I was working with one of my clients, and I felt an energy that obviously wasn't hers, but it was something else in the room. And it wasn't something that I saw. It was just the energy that I felt. So after we kind of like finished up, one of the questions I usually go through things, and everybody always asks me if I'm a psychic, and I just start laughing because I'm just like, no, I just feel energy. But I guess I could be a psychic. But I asked her, I was like, did somebody just pass away? And then she got really emotional. She actually did start crying. And she was like, yeah, I work in this nursing home, and I was really close to one of the older patients there, and she just passed away. And I've been thinking about her so much. And I was like, okay, well, she was actually here. And she's, you know, obviously protective over you, but, you know, she's here and she's good. So she was like, felt so much better because she's, you know, obviously thinking about her and anxiety and less like, you know, very sad. But I was like, you don't have to worry anymore because she's here. That doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen every once in a while.
Wow. And I know that there's a great variety of ways in which people experience Reiki, both as the client and as the practitioner. And so when you are doing Reiki, what's the experience like for you? How does that feel? And what are the various steps that you kind of go through?
It's actually very healing for me too. So I absolutely love it. I usually leave feeling charged of energy. And usually people feel like very relaxed and like they could even almost take a nap afterwards. So I actually feel really recharged. And then during my experience, I will get like a lot of downloads. Like sometimes I'll get like these really cool ideas or like creative things that kind of pop in my head. And just like really cool things. But I also get a lot of recommendations. My intuition speaks to me a lot. I get a lot of recommendations that are going to be used to help heal the client. So whatever it may be, like, you know, focusing on meditation or, you know, doing salt baths or journaling, whatever it could be.
Right. And when you are getting this material for from your intuition, I always like to dig into these kind of things because I find that everyone's spiritual nervous system, right, is a little different, right? So that the way that they access information, hear it or otherwise, it tends to kind of vary. So I always like to dig into this. So when you're hearing things from your intuition that you can then share with your client, how is that coming to you? Like, is it gut feelings? Is it, you know, the image that pops in your head, clairvoyance, or how does that come through to you?
I think, what's it called? Clear audio or something, like where it speaks audio to you. That's the one that comes through.
Interesting.
And so I do get visions sometimes. So, I just did a Reiki circle a few days ago and, like for one of the person, like I don't give full messages for everyone. I give like a little snippet for everyone during like group sessions. So, for one of the girls, I saw her standing in the, like the soil or something. So I was like, okay, so obviously what's coming to mind is obviously focus on your root chakra and focus on grounding and specifically earthing. So like when you're like walk in the earth barefoot, that's called earthing. So you could walk in the sand, the mud, the dirt, the grass, whatever it may be, and just really, really connect that way. It'll help ground you. So sometimes I'll see visions, but most of the time I'll hear audio.
And when you're hearing that audio, is it coming through in your voice or another? And for you yourself, how do you, what ways have you found to distinguish between, you know, maybe your own thoughts and something coming in from external?
Yeah. So it does come through in my voice, but not like a thought. Like your thoughts, I feel can be very, like your thoughts sound exactly like you, like you're thinking and you're just like, this sounds exactly like me. But when you're have your intuition, it kind of comes almost monotone. Like it's your voice, but it's very calm and very like monotone. Like there's usually your voices obviously go up and down and there's excitement and stuff. But usually when your intuition is speaking to you, it's usually pretty monotone. It doesn't really fluctuate in the frequencies.
Interesting. Yeah. I find, you know, everyone is a little different when they have their intuition. I was just talking with an interviewee yesterday who was saying that when they have a message come through, they also feel kind of this heat that comes with it. So, you know, everyone has their own clues. And I really
absolutely.
One. So for you, it's kind of this monotone voice that comes through. Interesting. So Jennifer, you mentioned in the pre-interview that you had an uncanny knack at knowing what was going to happen with the radio. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. So this is actually pretty funny. So I remember like being in high school and just driving in the car with my friends. And I would just be like, oh, you know what? This next song is going to come on. And it would either be the song after that was playing or the song after that. And everybody would be like, how do you know like what song is like coming on? Like they'd be like freaking out. They're like, oh my God, you're psychic. And I just laughed and I didn't really think anything of it until I got a little older and realized I was like, wow. I was connected with my intuition at a younger age, but obviously you can only, you know, your mind will only allow you to feel whatever you're willing to accept. So at that time, obviously, I was only willing to accept that I was a psychic when it came to the radio. but as I got older, then, you know, my intuition became a little more spot on, and it's because I learned to trust my intuition. But yeah, that's just like a little funny thing that I remember from high school.
And when this was happening, is it just like the song name popped into your head or like, how was that intuitive feeling and knowledge coming to you?
It would literally just be the song, name or like the artist or something that popped into your head.
Wow.
Into my head, I should say.
And so you're just like, okay, this is what's coming up next. Like you were just repeatedly getting this intuitive knowledge.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing, but it was so funny.
And what would you say was like your longest string of, you know, did you ever like know what the next song was going to be for like I don't know, 10 consecutive songs or anything? Like, did you ever have a stream?
Like, it would just be like super random. Like, it would be like, you know, one day we're driving and I'm like, oh, the song's going to come on next. Or, you know, it could be like a week later and I'm like, the song's going to come on next. And people would be like, oh my God, how do you always know?
Did you ever have what has been called telephone telepathy, where you kind of, you know, you have a thought about a person and then that person calls?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy you brought that up. It's so weird because either I will have a dream about a person, like either like they're communicating with me in my dreams or like telepathically, or I will just like start like thinking about this person, and I may not have never even spoke to them in like years, and they will randomly message me or like call me or something. Yes, that happens all the time. And I was like so weird. I was like, how like do I know this person is going to call me? So like at first I'd always be like a little shocked. I'm like, oh my God, they're actually calling me. But then after I was just kind of like, if I did not want to speak to that person, I'd be like, at least I would know, like, oh my God, this person's going to call me. I'm not going to answer.
Yeah. Rupert Sheldrake has done a lot of work on that telephone telepathy. And it, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to that knowledge of, you know, what the next song is going to be. When you have that telephone telepathy, right? How is there a particular nature to that thought about that person? Let's say, like, is it very heated? Like, is it a very strong thought? Is it emotionally charged? Like, is there any way that you would know whether a thought about a person is going to lead to a telephone call, or if it's just, you know, you're randomly thinking about that person? Like, is there any quality to it that's different than other thoughts?
Usually it'll start with a dream. I'll usually like have, they'll contact me in a dream, or we'll talk in my dream or whatever. And then the next day I'll be thinking about them. I'm just kind of like, oh, you know, like, oh, either I miss this person, I haven't talked to them in a while, or, and then I'll like be thinking of them like kind of throughout the day. And then usually within, you know, sometimes they'll contact me that very next day, or they'll contact him with me within the week. But it usually starts with a dream first. It's usually just not like a random thought. If, you know, like I'm thinking of my aunt, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to be calling me. It usually starts with a dream, and that is my situation. And like, what happens with me?
Wow. Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing so many of your experiences from throughout your life. We're coming up on time here. And so I have to ask, you know, is there any wisdom that you would like to share with the listenership before we log off?
Sure. Yeah. So first and foremost, like if you have any type of experiences where you like, you know, you do experiences like synchronicities, or, you know, maybe you see something or hear something or have this vision of something, just know that it is completely normal. You don't have to be afraid of it. And you're not alone, because a lot of other people actually do experience it. And then also if you maybe get a little freaked out about something, like maybe seeing the vision a little too clearly, just let your spirits know, like, hey, thank you for showing up, but I would appreciate it if maybe you just stick to, you know, popping up in my dreams instead. And they, you know, obviously will listen to you. You know, they're just trying to communicate with you, and they're obviously trying to communicate as many ways as possible, but, you know, your spirits and your guides will listen to you and communicate the way that feels most comfortable for you.
Absolutely. People, it's okay to have your boundaries, and those boundaries can be how you would like spirits to communicate with you.
Absolutely. That's why I'm a self-love coach. I teach boundaries.
There you go. Perfect. And Jennifer, where can people find you online? What are your social medias, websites?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at ZenJenHolistic, spelled ZenJenHolistic.
Fantastic. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a real treat. It's been great hearing about your experiences. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.